Good morning. This is Doug Poling with the CBS World News Roundup.
All the passengers and crew members are safe, and they are not on the plane anymore.
An airport spokeswoman in Helsinki, Finland, where a Soviet airliner landed today after being hijacked. The man who commandeered the plane surrendered. More information on this story from newsman John Simon in Helsinki.
There was a single hijacker involved. There were 55 passengers aboard and 5 crew members. No one has been injured. At present, there are discussions going on and investigation, which involves the question of whether the hijacker will be granted political asylum, or whether, according to a prior Soviet-Finnish agreement on hijacking, he or she would be returned to the Soviet Union.
The plane was on a domestic flight. Authorities are questioning 2 other people who were on the aircraft. Police say the hijacker apparently wanted to go to Israel. In Moscow today, communists in the Russian Federation, the most powerful Soviet republic, heard from this man. That's President Gorbachev speaking to the Russian communists. We have a report on what he said from Barry Peterson in Moscow.
Mikhail Gorbachev showed off one of his great political assets today, accepting the inevitable and pressing on to manage the outcome. The inevitable that the Communist Party within the Soviet Republic of Russia is going its own way. It represents about 60% of the National Soviet Communist Party. So Gorbachev spent his efforts trying to influence the future. Do not go toward conservatives, he warned. That is backward, a blind alley. And avoid the extremist liberals, he pleaded, who want to break with me and with the national government. This Russian party may fall under the influence of one of his chief opponents, Boris Yeltsin. But Yeltsin was sounding conciliatory today. We've talked, he said of Gorbachev. We reject any personal conflict. Gorbachev may be losing control of the Communist Party, but he recently had himself elected president and has transferred much of the power in this country to that job, power he clearly intends to keep even as the Communist Party splits apart. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Moscow.
A rift in Poland's Solidarity movement is widening with word of new tensions between Lech Wałęsa, the founder of the movement, and Poland's prime minister. Bert Quint in Warsaw has the latest.
When the moment came to set up a Solidarity government, Wałęsa gave the job to the intellectuals under his longtime aide, Tadeusz Mazowiecki. Now Wałęsa thinks the intellectuals are moving toward reform too slowly and without sufficiently protecting workers' interests. He wants to become president to provide a strong hand and shape reform to his liking. But Wałęsa is tough and autocratic. Many of his old colleagues say he wants to be a post-communist monarch. The latest round over the weekend went to the intellectuals. They weakened Wałęsa's position in the network of Solidarity-backed civic committees that form the country's only major political movement. But there's no politician in this country with the street smarts of Lech Wałęsa. And as the communists learned, a bet against him is far from a sure thing. Bert Quinn, CBS News, Warsaw.
Police in Jacksonville, Florida say the gunman who killed 9 people, including himself, at a General Motors auto financing office yesterday has been linked to 2 other killings last weekend. And Sheriff James McMillan says the man, James Pugh, was no stranger to the criminal justice system.
He was arrested last in 1971 for murder, which was reduced to manslaughter, and he pled to aggravated battery and got a 5-year probation. Ironically, in 1968, he was arrested for dangerously displaying in a threatening manner a weapon.
In addition to those who were killed, 5 people were seriously wounded in yesterday's incident. The people in the office who lived through this have a lot to cope with. This woman, a counselor, talked to some of them.
The survivors of this incident are pretty much speechless. They're in shock and in disbelief. They cry a great deal.
The state of Arkansas last night used its electric chair for the first time in 26 years. John Edward Swindler, a 46-year-old convicted murderer, was put to death. More on the story from Sonny Merriweather of Little Rock station KARN.
Bill Simmons, chief of the Little Rock Bureau of the Associated Press, witnessed the execution.
When the electricity was thrown, there was a prominent click. Mr. Swindler's body became stiff, but did not shake.
Swindler got the death penalty for the 1976 murder of Fort Smith police officer Randy Basnett. He was the first inmate to be executed in Arkansas since 1964. Another death row inmate, R. Gene Simmons, is scheduled to die next Monday for a murderous rampage in December of 1987 in which he killed 16 people, 14 of them members of his own family. Sonny Merriweather for CBS News, Little Rock.
After a lengthy selection process, they now have a jury, and opening statements will be made today in the criminal trial of Washington, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry. Rob Armstrong reports.
The case will be heard by 15 women and 3 men, 13 blacks and 5 whites. The judge has ruled that the public will not know which are the 12 jurors or the 6 alternates until the end of the trial. All will be sequestered until deliberations begin, which could be 6 weeks or more from now. The case itself has caused enormous controversy in the nation's capital, especially in the black community, where many people say it's the white government out to get the powerful black mayor. The mayor is charged with drug possession, conspiracy, and lying to a federal grand jury. His supporters accuse government prosecutors of luring the mayor into a sting by pressuring one of Barry's former girlfriends who had legal troubles of her own. The mayor was subsequently videotaped allegedly smoking crack. Despite persistent rumors of a plea bargain, opening arguments are set to begin this morning, and one of the most publicized criminal trials ever in this city will move into its evidentiary phase. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, U.S. District Court, Washington.
South African black nationalist leader Nelson Mandela told an audience in Toronto that his country is on the threshold of major change, but he said the last hurdles will be the most difficult to jump. Some Canadians who heard Mandela were delighted, although reaction at home is muted.
Oh, it's fantastic. We have been waiting for it for a long time. Like, I dream of this day, seeing Mandela, you understand? This day is to go down in history.
This is Richard Wagner in Johannesburg. Nelson Mandela's tour is big news wherever he and his entourage appear. But here in South Africa, it has yet to make the front page of this country's largest black-oriented newspaper. Teacher strikes in black schools, the African National Congress's squabbles with other black groups, and even the marital difficulties of a top black pop singer are considered more newsworthy by the Sowetan, a paper with a daily circulation of 200,000. The reason for the lack of coverage of the Mandela tour is generally believed to be that blacks here see South Africa's problems as internal matters, which must be solved here, not in other countries. Richard Wagner, CBS News, Johannesburg.
Mandela flies to New York tomorrow to begin a 12-day tour of 8 cities in the United States. The world's biggest hotel opens today in Las Vegas. The Excalibur Hotel on the southern end of the famous strip has 4,032 rooms. Construction of new homes declined during May for the fourth month in a row. On Wall Street at this hour, Dow Jones Industrials up 7 points.